Good morning and welcome to this hour of worship coming to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri. Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. Pastor Alan Mueller has chosen for his sermon topic, God's Generous Way, based on Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Your announcer is Ron Meyer.
Well, good morning. It's great to see you all here on this beautiful morning. It appears that I imagine we have quite a few people listening online and joining us on the radio this morning, which is great. I pray that everyone is staying healthy and staying well during this time. And I am so thankful that you are here to worship our great God together and to receive his sacraments in the body and blood of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, in the fellowship of this altar. We begin with our opening hymn, number 783. Would you please stand as you're able? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help. O cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, since we cannot stand before you relying on anything we have done, help us trust in your abiding grace and live according to your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Old Testament reading for this 16th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 1. want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convicted of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand.
Hallelujah.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The kingdom of heaven is like a master of the house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at their master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. It's often said that we currently live in a day of entitlement. Many people feel as if they have a fundamental right to another person's belongings. They feel entitled to say where their money should go and to what purposes it should be used for. In fact, many teenagers and young adults today share in that exact expectation. They have this grand and lofty sense of self-worth and of justice that they feel as if they can dictate it upon other people. And more than that, so often some even expect to be recipients of that same wealth themselves. They expect to receive from others more than what they already have. You can look around and there's talks about reparations. People argue about wealth redistribution, and there's a constant rail against income inequality. And while it's true that workers should be rightly paid their wages, and while it's true that they shouldn't be taken advantage of, and while it's true that employers have a direct responsibility in this, yet so often we feel entitled to more. We always expect and demand more, especially if we think that we deserve more. By nature, we have such high and lofty views of ourselves. We have this grand sense of self-worth and entitlement. And our high sense of value rockets our expectations into the clouds. It's always telling us, I deserve more and I have earned it. It's as if our views of ourselves would be founded in the heavens, and yet what we soon find out is that our thoughts are more down to earth and more worldly than ever. We think we have this sense of justice and that we deserve more. We think our sense of justice rises above the mountains, but in reality, what we find instead is that our thoughts are rock bottom. We are so turned in on ourselves. Our thoughts are not heavenly, but rather they are earthbound. Our thoughts are so low and in the gutter that they are covered by debris and clouded by mud. It's this sinful, prideful expectation that we aren't getting what we deserve. It's sinful nature that reverses reality within our own minds, and it's sinful nature which leads us to feel entitled. Saying we live in a day of entitlement would in fact be true no matter what day you lived in. For self-worth is even present in the youngest of children. From an early age, kids are keen to say, "That's not fair." If the sister gets an extra scoop of ice cream, you can expect a shout to soon follow, "That's not fair." It's present in everyone from the youngest to the oldest. It's present in everyone who has breath in their lungs. And it's present in our gospel reading this morning. That is, people naturally feel entitled to more. We just read through the parable of the vineyard workers. And in fact, it seems like Jesus went out of his way to make such a point. If this parable before us was strictly about how God calls people of all ages and how he calls people from all walks of life, or if this parable was strictly about how God gives salvation freely and graciously to them all, then he could have easily have done so. He could have easily have made that point. But instead, it seems like Jesus goes out of his way to make a different point. He purposely makes this parable offensive to our ears, or at least shocking to our hearts. Very easily, he could have told the story saying how the hired first ones could have been paid first. He could have paid the workers beginning with the first and ending with the last, as one would expect. And by the end, when we finally saw how they were all paid equally, we would have gradually come to this conclusion of, look how gracious God is. But rather, he knowingly and purposefully starts with the last. He begins with those hired at 5 in the evening, those who worked but for an hour before quitting time, and yet they still received the full day's wage. And you and I, as listeners and readers, we're getting gradually pulled along. It's as if we're getting teased, waiting for the punchline. We're waiting for this glorious reward, assuming that these first workers must soon be getting something greater. We have those high expectations, naturally thinking, along with the men, what's the reward for those who have worked all day? And when it finally comes, it's as if we get punched in the stomach. For they too received just a single day's wage. They got what all the others received also. And what an offense that is to an unregenerate heart. It's a direct front against our sense of entitlement and what we deserve. It's a front against our sense of justice and of just payment. We feel for and we identify with these first workers. And rather than rejoicing with those hired last, we are instead moved to weep with those hired first. We say, that's not fair. We grieve with those who weren't given more rather than celebrating those who were given abundantly. For it feels like a great injustice was done. And so the men in the parable begin to complain as if to say, Master, where is your sense of justice? And verse 12 captures the very heart of their complaining, saying, These last worked only 1 hour, and yet you have made them equal with us. You have made them equal with us. That is, us who have worked and served you all day and in the heat of the sun. Those who worked but an hour in the cool of the day, yet you have made them our equal. Was this a grave injustice? See how the master responds, saying so gently, Friend, I have done you no wrong. Did you not agree for this payment? Am I not allowed to do what I please with that which belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Do you resent or envy my kindness? And so it quickly becomes clear that our thoughts are not as pure and lofty as we once thought. Our thoughts are not as kind-hearted. They aren't as holy, righteous, just, or as loving as God's thoughts. Well did Isaiah speak, saying, As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's thoughts higher than our thoughts, and His ways than our ways. For how often do we begrudge God when He blesses other people more than us? He blesses so graciously other people while we ourselves have been laboring for His kingdom and following His commands. If you are a faithful laborer in God's kingdom, then have you not labored as if under the hot sun? Have you not worked tirelessly as you ought to subdue the evil passions in your own body? Have you not, as the Apostle Paul says, beaten your body, sought to subdue it, and make it a slave? Many have been called into Christ and called into this work as mere babes. They've been called from a young age to work in the Lord's vineyard. Many faithful workers have spent the whole of their days weeding out the tares. They've labored tirelessly to rid their heart of sin. They've spent their days pruning the vine branches, cutting away from their heart all the lusts and evil passions. Others, however, didn't enter the Lord's work till well into their teens. Others not getting serious until their 30s or 40s. And still others perhaps well into their 70s or even upon their deathbed. And yet the Lord so freely, generously, and lovingly gives them all the same. Through grace, He gives to each of them their full reward. Their reward of inheriting the kingdom and the righteousness which is freely given in Jesus Christ. So much purer and holy and lofty are God's thoughts than ours. He's so generous that He sees fit to give freely to all who would come to Him. And instead of weeping with those who have worked and labored for decades, we should be rejoicing with those who were hired in the last hour. For dear friends, is God not allowed to do what He wills with that which belongs to Him? Far be it from our sinful hearts to object to God's generosity towards others. Far be it from ourselves to feel entitled to any of God's gifts, whether they be eternal spiritual gifts or temporal worldly gifts. Can God not do as He pleases? Can He not give what He pleases to whom He pleases? It doesn't matter how faithfully you've served God, He remains sovereign. He remains on His throne, ruling alone. It doesn't matter how much you've worked for His kingdom, no one is entitled to an ounce of God's graces. As Paul says in Romans, who has ever given a gift to God that he should be repaid? It's clearly no one. God is indebted to no man or no woman. He does as he pleases, with what he pleases, to whom he pleases. And he does so, again, both temporally and spiritually, with those gifts alike. And don't abuse or misunderstand this teaching, but it's true that God is not concerned with everyone having an equal worldly outcome. Again, don't abuse that teaching or take it too far, but God gives worldly blessings as he wills throughout creation. He gives riches to the King Davids and the King Solomons of the world, yet he gives but pennies to the Apostle Pauls. He gives gifts of knowledge to the Isaac Newtons and the Einsteins of the world, but he gives to the Samsons and the Pharaohs a spirit of blindness to the truth. God gives lofty and poetic speech to flow from the lips of psalm writers, but he gives to Moses a slow and stuttering mouth. You can go throughout the world and you will always find varying worldly gifts which God has poured out as he saw pleasing. Yet who would man could ever question God's generosity? For can he not do as he pleases with that which is his own? We dare not resent his charity or demand more, but rather praise him that he would give any gift upon flesh. As Paul says, rather than feeling entitled and worthy to God's riches, he said that he learned rather how to be content in all situations. He learned how to accept every lot which the Lord had given him, whether he lived in hunger or in plenty. He lived in freedom and in prison. He lived well clothed and in coldness. All according to God's perfect sovereign will, the Lord gives his free graces upon his creation. And our entitlement to anything more should be stopped cold. For God giving to another has never stopped you yourself from receiving his matchless and limitless blessings. He may give abundant temporal gifts to Wall Street, but today he still clothes you as he does the lilies. He still feeds you as he does the birds of the air. He looks after you and he loves you dearly, regardless of those fleeting gifts that others may have around you. And we dare not demand from God's hands that which we deserve. We dare not request that which rightly belongs to us, for every gift is from grace alone. And to demand justice would be to begrudge his generosity. But how else could man ever hope to be saved? Demanding justice and fairness forsakes the very riches that God so pleases to give. He might give temporal gifts varyingly. He might give one talent to one man and 10 talents to another, but with spiritual gifts, God gives no variety. There is no distinction. For in God's generosity, he will give to all saints alike when they all alike together enter into his heavenly kingdom. He does as he pleases, and he pleases to give you his abundant riches in the age to come. He pleases to give you his dear Son, Jesus Christ, and along with him, the King, the keys of heaven. In Christ's blessing, there comes along also eternal life. There comes the forgiveness of sins. There's the wiping away of all tears. There is eternal joy and peace. There is a dwelling in which you will forever be with the Lord. And there is a marriage feast wherein you will enjoy such a perfect union with God himself. God does and he gives as he pleases. And it pleased him to give you his dear Son, as it so pleased the Son to also leave his heavenly throne for you. He left his throne surrounded by angelic praises to instead put on human flesh and to be surrounded by the cries of wicked man, as they blasphemed him and as they shouted out, "Crucify him." It pleased the Son to come to this world, not to condemn it, but to give life to it. He gave his own life as he died in its place and as he died in your place. It's because of Christ that our Father gives you all things. He who did not spare his own Son, how will he not also graciously give you all things? For as we become one with Christ, we become co-heirs in his kingdom. All of Christ becomes all of ours, and we become all of Christ's. These blessings will fully become ours in the age to come, but the hope of such blessings become ours today. There is no greater blessing on this side of heaven than the right to be identified as a worker in Christ's vineyard. For we are hired, we are working, and we have the peace of mind to not have to worry about tomorrow. For we know that on the last day, we will receive our reward in full, once and for all eternity, God's richest blessings. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, from you comes all good gifts. We thank you for your loving kindness and that you would bless us in this world. Although we deserve nothing and have no claim to anything in this life, yet you graciously provide us with all of our needs. And you lovingly and richly bless us beyond our core needs. For from you and from your hand we receive all that we have. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above. And we thank you most dearly for giving us your Son. In Christ, you have not withheld anything from your beloved children. Lead us to be ever thankful. Lead us to be content in all situations. And teach us to find satisfaction and fulfillment from you. Lead our hearts to find joy, rest, and peace in you. And give us the spirit of hope that we may wait patiently for the final judgment of all things. And for when we will see you face to face. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, as your children, we have received in abundance. We pray that we may not take your gifts for granted, but rather lead us to use the blessings you have given us to also bless those around us. Cut from our hearts any sense of entitlement, but rather lead us to live lives of generosity in ourselves. Lead us to live lives of thankfulness and praise, and lead us to see all of our belongings to be of you and more than we deserve, and to be coming solely from your hand. Likewise, for all of our blessings of time and talent, we pray that we can use them and use everything you have entrusted to us for the good of our neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Father, we lift before you many people this morning. We pray, firstly, for everyone at the Good Shepherd Nursing Home. We pray that you would sustain life and health. We pray that all the residents would be comforted in mind, body, and spirit. We pray especially for all residents and staff also who have been affected by the coronavirus. We pray for your protection, your blessing, and for your will to be done. And we pray for a time to quickly come when residents will be able again to visit loved ones. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Holy God, we also pray for Tessa Moulton as she fell 2 weeks ago and broke part of her lower leg. We ask that your healing hand would bring her relief and that you would look after her and ease any sense of pain and that there will be a quick recovery. We pray also for Charlene Hink as she prepares to go into knee surgery or knee replacement surgery on Wednesday. Lord, we ask that you would bless her procedure and to overlook her recovery process. And we also praise you, God, for the recent good news of Gary's tests. And we ask that you would continue to be with him in this process as he now prepares for the new defibrillator. And we further praise you for the healthy delivery of the baby we've been praying for recently over the past weeks, the baby of Danica Doyle. We pray that, or we give you thanks, that you have delivered her safely and brought life into this world. We ask that you would continue to sustain her, grow her strong, and to look after the mother at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Our order of service continues with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, for what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. Thank you. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. The Lord bless you and keep you in the true faith until He takes you home. You can go in His peace. Amen. Take and eat the body of Christ for you. 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 This is the body of Christ for you. 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 This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. 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 Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. body of Christ for you. This is the body of Christ for you. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in the true faith. You can depart with his peace and with his joy. Amen. Would you please stand? Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the voice of all people, a light to light in the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And his mercy endures forever. Let us pray. We give you thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.